freshwater organisms are at very high risk from human activities worldwide. Most of these threats are linked to habitat loss, but overexploitation also endangers many animals. In Brazil's Mamirua Sustainable Development Reserve, populations of Amazon pink river dolphin or boto fell by 65% between 1994 and 2016. Targeted fishing of these friendly animals for their use as bait contributed to the decline. Climatic changes render terrestrial habitats inhospitable too. In Australia, in the 2019 to 2020 fire season, around 10 million hectares of forest land was destroyed, killing more than 1 billion animals and displacing 3 billion others. For southeastern Australia, scientists showed that human-induced climate change made the fires 30% more likely. These losses are happening not just in land-based habitats, but also out at sea. Reefs and vibrant underwater forests are some of the most threatened ecosystems in the world, but they are being battered by a changing climate that makes oceans warmer and more acidic. The planet has already warmed by 1.2 degrees Celsius since pre-industrial times, and a 2 degrees Celsius average temperature rise will decimate almost all tropical corals. However, the bat deaths in Australia, Brazil's disappearing pink river dolphins, and the vulnerability of corals are extreme examples that can skew the index, which averages the change in population sizes. In fact, about half of wildlife populations studied remained stable and in some cases even grew. Mountain gorillas in the Virunga Mountains spanning Rwanda, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Uganda number around 604 today, up from 480 in 2010. Despite these bright spots, the overall outlook remains gloomy. Even after discounting the extremes, the downward trend persists. After we remove 10% of the complete data set, we still see the declines of about 65%. Robin Freeman, an author of the report and senior researcher at ZSL, said in a statement, "Often habitat loss, over-exploitation, and climate change compound the risk. Even in cases where a changing climate proves favorable, the multitude of threats can prove insurmountable. Take bumblebees, for example. Some species, like bombas or buff-tailed bumblebee, could actually thrive as average temperatures rise. But an assessment of 66 bumblebee species documented declining numbers because of pesticide and herbicide use. The report emphasizes the need to tackle these challenges together. Protecting habitats like forests and mangroves can, for example, maintain species richness and check greenhouse gas emissions. The kinds of plants and their abundance directly impact carbon storage because plants pull in carbon from the atmosphere and store it as biomass. One of the deficiencies of the LPI is that it doesn't include data on plants or invertebrates." The report was released in the run-up to environmental summits that will see countries gather to thrash out a plan to rein in climate change in November and later in the year to reverse biodiversity loss. Government leaders are set to meet for the next level of climate talks called COP27 in Egypt from November 6th to 13th. At the last meeting of parties, known as COP26 in Glasgow last year, nations committed to halt biodiversity loss and stem habitat destruction, partly in recognition that this would lower humanity's carbon footprint. Meanwhile, the UN News, in its new report, wrote, the agency's yearly greenhouse gas bulletin warns of the biggest year-on-year jump in methane concentration in 2021 since systematic measurements began nearly 40 years ago. While the reason for the unprecedented increase is still unclear, it seems to be a result of both biological and human-induced processes, according to the report. The increase in carbon dioxide levels from 2020 to 2021 was also larger than the average annual growth rate over the last decade. And according to WMO, the levels continue to rise through 2022. The report has underlined once again the enormous challenge and the vital necessity of urgent action to cut greenhouse gas emissions and prevent global temperatures from rising even further in the future, WMO Secretary General Petteri Tala said. The report explains that between 1990 and 2021, the warming effect on the climate, known as radioactive forcing by long-lived greenhouse gases, those that stay in the atmosphere, has risen by nearly 50%, mainly fueled by a CO2 increase. To be more specific, CO2 concentrations last year reached 415.7 parts per million ppm, methane 1908 ppm, and nitrous oxide 334.5 ppm. These values constitute respectively 149%, 262%, and 121% of pre-industrial levels before human activities started disrupting the natural balance of these gases in the atmosphere. Talas underscored, the continuing rise in concentrations of the main heat-trapping gases, including the record acceleration in methane levels, shows that we are heading in the wrong direction. For WMO's chief, the report highlights the importance to implement without delay the cost-effective strategies already available to tackle methane emissions, as well as to slash CO2 by transforming industrial energy and transport systems. He reiterated, the needed changes are economically affordable and technically possible. Time is running out. The agency hopes that the science induced in this bulletin and the State of the Global Climate Report to be published in the eve of UN Climate Conference COP27 in Egypt will help galvanize negotiators into more ambitious action to achieve the Paris Agreement goal to preferably limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. WMO warns that as long as emissions continue, global temperature will continue to rise. Given the long life of CO2 in the atmosphere, the temperature level already observed will persist for decades, even if emissions are rapidly reduced to net zero. Scientists point out that it is also important to understand that this report is measuring the concentrations of greenhouse gases, meaning what remains in the atmosphere after gases are absorbed by sinks like the ocean and biosphere, which are not the same as emissions.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speakers in the studio, Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and it's always a pleasure being here.
You're welcome. The pleasure is always ours. And Sister Asma, thank you very much for coming to the studio and welcome.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
We are delighted to have both of you again in the studio criticizing the movie Father Stu that we have started, in fact, from previous episode onwards. This is a movie produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Starring good actors and actresses from Hollywood, such as Mark Wahlberg and Mel Gibson. Before me asking you a question regarding this movie, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Father Stu, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Hi, Stuart. How you been?
Give me the keys. I got an audition. I'll be late.
Audition? For what?
A movie. None of your business.
Seeing as you're trying to steal my truck to get there, I figure it
well,
is.
Once I get my check from the supermarket, I'll spring my ride and give yours back.
I reckon it's a few months worth of cleanups on aisle four to pay off a DUI impound. That is the offense.
Well, if you send half what you spend on whiskey to your wife, you might still have a marriage.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sister Asma, you know, there's a conversation between a dad and his son. Basically, we are talking about Stuart Long and his dad, Mel Gibson, in the movie, which is very rude. Of course, I don't want to just, talk about or bring in every part or dialogue that happened between the two.
Yes.
Between,
the father
Stuart
and the son.
And, yes, his father. We're just going to focus on a few dialogues which are there in the movie that I find very interesting,
mm-hmm.
especially, Stuart and his dad and Stuart and the rector of the church.
Yes.
Whatever. But I just wanted to go straight to my question regarding the, let's say, impoliteness
mm-hmm.
Or impolite nature of the dialogue or the conversation between a son and his father. And there are lots of obscene words, so much so that you get somehow a little bit shocked that you can't
yes.
watch this movie, for example, along with your kids or, your close
with
relatives.
Company.
Yes. Why is this familial relationship in the West like this? Not at all comparable to Muslim countries when I compare it,
mm-hmm.
to, for example, my relationship with my dad, or I'm sure your relationship to your dad or your
exactly.
parents,
yeah.
it wouldn't be something like this. I mean, the nature would be somehow different. It's based on somehow mutual respect.
Exactly,
all right?
Yes.
And most often the respect goes to the elderly
mm-hmm.
in this regard,
yes.
you know? So we have so much respect for our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not like this in the other parts of the world?
Well, firstly, I would say, even in our societies nowadays, everything is starting to change in a drastic way that even now, when you look at families, you would say, oh my God, this is not what we used to have. So I guess after a time when societies start to have changes, or there some, I don't know, revolutionary things happen in the behavioral system of families and each single person, each individual. So I guess they think this is a way of getting so much friendly with their children, or something that at first might look very interesting to have no curtains between you and your children. But little by little, as time goes by, you would understand that it would have some really dangerous effects in the family. Because that much of friendship between a father and a son, or a mother with her daughter, would cause some damages to their character. They would no longer have borders. They would no longer have limitations in their personalities. So they would be like what we're seeing nowadays, some rude, impolite people who do not follow manners.
Mm-hmm.
Mannerism is a very important thing. I guess that decorum that we have in literature,
yes,
could be applied everywhere.
What
everyone
is that?
That is, you have to notice what context is used with which frame. So you should consider this fact that when you're talking to your dad, it's a different thing from talking to your parent, even to your friends or even siblings. So you should watch your words, or have some manners, or be in some limitations. That's as a rule. I think it's a rule and everybody should follow that. But as I told you, time would change, new generations come with new ideas, and there's no control over that, I guess.
I see. Regarding the same question, say it, you know, it's why are we worlds apart? Like, when I'm comparing, like,
yeah,
Muslim countries,
mm-hmm,
the Muslim families with non-Muslim families, they are not at all comparable.
Look, if you're talking about parenting, because in Islam emphasizes so much so on parenting that he kept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he attached his anger and his pleasure to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
If your father is happy with you, Allah is happy. If your father is upset, Allah is upset. Same thing with your mother. So Allah puts so much emphasis on us as children to respect our parents that even my heaven and hell depending on them. And Allah even went a step further. He said, even if your parents are bad people,
yes,
and they do whatever they want to do,
still
need to respect them.
Yes.
There's only one condition that you do not need to listen to your parents, is that when they ask you to commit blasphemy towards God, he says,
yes,
do not listen to them. But even in that case, be nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't come to them, you tell them, you were this, you were that, you point fingers at them because they are non-Muslims or non-believers. He says, no, you have to use the utmost respect for them. He says, even uff in the Quran says,
mm-hmm,
use the word uff. Uff is not a word.
Yeah.
It's just air that you blow out of expression, yeah, of anger or annoyance that you make. So you go, uff, right?
Yeah.
Allah says, even that do not do. So most Muslim family, if not all Muslim family, at least the kids are brought up with this mentality. So we see that we have more respect to our parents.
Yes.
Unlike the West, where the notion of respecting one's parents does not even exist in the Bible or the Torah or the Old Testament, the New Testament, does not exist.
Yeah.
Such a notion.
Even
so, they grow on that and there's nothing there. To top of that, we had like so many systems, like you had the Marxist and you had the communists and you have all these, the socialists, all these movements, they were targeting the family itself.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to break that hierarchy in the family.
Right.
Your father, your mother means nothing. They are just workers just like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to break the family. And the Hollywood media, the Hollywood mechanism, it's been working for years, at least 25 years now, trying to demolish the essence of a family,
mm-hmm,
the father role and the mother role.
I see.
And they, even the cartoons, that if you've seen cartoons, I've seen a lot of cartoons in my time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They make the kids, like the sister said, friendly, but actually they're not aiming for friendliness. They're aiming for breaking that hierarchy. For
that
example, if you watch The Simpsons, like is one of the most watched cartoons in history.
Yeah.
Right? And in The Simpsons, Bart always refers to his father as Homer. He calls him Homer.
Yeah.
He doesn't call him dad. There are times where he calls him dad,
yeah,
but he always refers to him as Homer.
Yeah.
He takes that. As a child, when you watch such cartoons,
this is opposite of education. This is miseducation.
It's not a miseducation. It's a targeted education.
Yeah. I know. Like,
yeah,
purposeful one.
Yeah, it's a very purposeful one. So, like I said, so there are systems into play that deliberately trying to break that family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay,
like the sister said, it's moving rapidly. It's coming to us. It's happening to us now. And we can see that happening with our kids as well. This notion of disrespecting your parents is starting to become a very rapid thing that's happening within the Muslim communities. But still, having said that, even with our kids, when they get bad or they become bad, they don't get as bad as these guys, like you see in the movie, where he looks at his father as like not even a second-class citizen, like as someone that he really hates and doesn't like. He curses him, he swears at him, he kicks him out of the house, and we don't do that. I mean, I could be bad with my father, but I would not get to that extent. So that tells you that they reached a stage where the parents, they are absolutely total strangers to them. They mean nothing to them.
Sometimes
that he has that ability to.
Sometimes they call each other by the first name.
Yeah.
This is this shows actually how their relationship, in fact, is directed at, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to ask you a very important question, but we have to wait after a break. Stay with us.
Today, the Church joyfully welcomes those who will be received into the order of catechumens. In the months to come, they will be preparing their initiation into Christian faith by baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosaline Ross. Sayyid Abdullah, just before the break, I wanted to ask you a question, a very important one, about one of the main principles of Christianity, which is catechumen, right? Basically, it's a combination of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. All of these combine into one, as this term, in fact, suggests. Why is it necessary to be initiating the Christian faith? I mean, like, do you need, like, baptism to be, like, called a Christian, for example, a Catholic?
With all religions, they all have a ceremonial kind of beginning.
Rituals.
Rituals, in a way or another. So if you look at them, it doesn't matter what. Sometimes even non-Brahmic religions, they also have that. If you look at Buddhism, or if you look at Hinduism, they also have these rituals where they get anointed.
It's part of the tradition.
Yes, part of the tradition.
There must be an introduction.
But yeah, it's like they have this, even with Islam as well, in order for you to become a Muslim.
Like a homecoming ritual.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in Islam, we don't have this ceremony, but at least there's an initiation. Take the Shahada. So the Shahada is like the first thing you do. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah.
And we also have the ghusl, right?
And,
ghusl.
Well, yeah, ghusl, but that's because it's an Islamic obligation, not because part of the ceremony.
Yeah, true.
So we also have that initiation part where you state your Shahada and then you're on your way. So I think Christianity came up with that notion as well of you have to be baptized, you have to be fed certain things, you have to be closed in a certain way.
Certain steps you have to take before entering the club.
Exactly. So they come up with these things as well to make it more official. That if you, even you could be a Christian, but if you're not baptized, they look at you differently as well. So baptism is like, it's a very important part of their faith that needs to be done. So you have a lot of Christians, if you ask them, are you baptized? They say, no. If I could make this into an example in Muslim world that we can understand, as well, circumcision, right? Yeah, it's compulsory. You need to be circumcised, right? So a lot of people, for example, yeah, I'm a Muslim, but I'm not circumcised. We say, okay, there's something wrong there. You know what I mean?
Jewish people also have it, right?
Jewish, they also have to get circumcised as well.
True.
So we say, you know, there's something wrong in this picture. So the same thing with baptism for a Christian. You need to get baptized. Otherwise, you're not fully Christian yet. Or those who are dedicated or those who are Christian to the core, they will look at you with a, you know, a slightly a downward look. They're like, you're not worthy.
Is it important in Protestant as well?
It is. They need to get baptized.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We try to criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosaline Ross. Of course, we haven't finished it yet, and hopefully we are going to do so in the upcoming episodes. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Food for Thought.
Hello, everyone, and how about listening to a thought-provoking saying from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not make a sinner despair. Many of the sinful enjoy a happy end on repentance, while many of the seemingly devout rupture their deeds and deserve hell. Allah may protect us from hell.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The message of the Iranian people. The picture was the max of the diplomatic field of the Islam Republic during the past 13 months for the 13th Iranian administration that changed many equations of the hegemonic system in its media monopoly. On the other hand, it made the Iranian nation who loves the commander of the hearts blissful. In his first trip to New York, President Ebrahim Raisi used various political and media capacities to convey the message of the Iranian people. He met officials from various countries and answered the questions by reporters and experts. Dr. Raisi's meeting with the French President Emmanuel Macron can be highlighted as the most important meeting on the trip. A lot has been said about the meeting and there are many untold things about it as well. After the meeting, Macron invited Iranian President Raisi to the Elysee Palace. The Iranian foreign minister, who continued his meetings after President Raisi's return home, met with over 30 counterparts. Hossein Amir Abdollahian took part in the multilateral meetings in New York and met with high-ranking UN officials and clarified the Islamic Republic of Iran's stance in several exclusive interviews. The first trip by the president of the 13th Iranian administration to New York might be considered the Islamic Republic of Iran's diplomatic field with the highest frequency, but the administration's foreign ministry has left a different record during the past year by executing a balanced foreign policy. These buildings bear major events from the contemporary history of Iran's diplomatic relations. From the former passport, the Islamic Revolution's leader, and former Iranian foreign minister, Dr. Hossein Fatemi's briefcase when he was assassinated, and the first constitution of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, until this building that served as the makeshift detention center for former Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh. These chairs and this desk and chair, namely the office of former Iranian Prime Minister, President, and Foreign Minister, Martyr Mohammad Ali Rajai at the Foreign Ministry. And these days, these buildings are the venues of efforts by diplomats who have pledged to make the promise, neither the West nor the East, that guarantees beloved Iran's independence come true. Under the circumstances that Iran faced cruel sanctions, the foreign ministry determined its priorities in three axes: the neighbor-oriented policy, the Asian-oriented policy, and the economy-oriented diplomacy. The priorities helped Iran once again become the destination of top officials from various countries, despite the usual uproar by the West over the nuclear issue. In continuation of the approach, the Islamic Republic of Iran's active participation and its membership in the newly emerged BRICS, which includes five emerging economies, namely Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, has been on the agenda for the Iranian diplomatic service. The recent events in Afghanistan and the immigration surge from the Afghan side could turn into an uncontrollable crisis for our country. Facing the problems and adopting policies vis-a-vis the conflict between the Republic of Azerbaijan and Armenia were among the tough tests, where there was no room for any mistakes on the part of Iran's foreign ministry. It's optimized the benefits and minimized the losses so far. Another important event that overshadowed the region and the world was a conflict between Russia and Ukraine that is still going on. If the war between the Republic of Azerbaijan and Armenia had regional impacts, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine changed the world system and will affect the world political geography. In this war, too, Iran chose active neutrality as its foreign policy. During the past 12 months, the foreign ministry has had a clear approach regarding its policies toward its neighbors, from efforts to restore ties with Saudi Arabia by considering the region's interests and the world of Islam, remote ties with Iraq, Turkey, Pakistan, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates, the UAE. During the past year, the foreign ministry has been pursuing the policy of supporting the resistance front more adamantly than before, so the great achievement of General Qasem Soleimani will be consolidated more than before. There are important cases in our relations with each of our neighbors. For example, talks are still ongoing on the case regarding the assassination of martyr General Soleimani. Right at a time when the U.S. president embarked on a tour of the Middle East to bolster the Zionist regime and isolate Iran, a trilateral summit hosted by Tehran changed the equations. Holding the summit between Iran, Russia, and Turkey testified Iran's active diplomacy and its international stance. In recent years, the Zionist regime has tried to take advantage of the weak points of some rulers and normalize its ties with some of those countries. But the Iranian Foreign Policy Service revealed the dangers of the Zionist plot and stood up to counter the historical treason. Since November 29, 2021, the Foreign Ministry has been pursuing a new round of nuclear talks with a different style and clear objective, namely pushing talks in an honorable way and by receiving guarantees, verification, and lifting the oppressive and illegal sanctions by the United States. In the period between August 2021 and February 2022, bolstering the economic diplomacy of the Foreign Ministry led to growth in exports to neighboring countries and a surge in foreign trade. Meanwhile, exporting knowledge-based products in 2021 amounted to $800 million. The practical meaning of balanced foreign policy 13th administration of the foreign ministry can be noticed by the foreign minister and the president's numerous trips to neighboring regional, Asian, African, and European countries, as well as UN headquarters in New York. During the past year, over 4 foreign ministers and top officials from different countries and organizations have come to Iran, and the foreign ministry has hosted them. 276 phone calls with government officials and international organizations means the foreign ministry pursues the matter every day to advance the foreign policy at the highest level.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, salam and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So welcome to this episode of today's special. We're going to speak about role model in Islam.
Today, Friday, is the 7th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Azar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of December, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Be with us to listen to verses 105 to 107 of chapter Anbiya from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin.
And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, except as a mercy to the world.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The government of the righteous servants of Allah over the earth is the merit reflected from the grace and mercy of Allah, which can be received in the light of messengership, and whatever of the prophetic mercy will be bestowed upon the individuals both in this world and the hereafter is a ray from the divine mercy. All of the divine ordinance and the penal laws of the Islam are also mercy for the society of the human beings. Allah is the Lord of the worlds, and His messenger is a mercy for all the worlds. That is, the true training is possible to occur under the shadow of the Prophet's guidance.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wahtadarbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about role model in Islam. We all have role models. In fact, it is an established fact that most human behaviors are learned through looking up to and emulating role models. Therefore, it is important that our role models are people who possess the qualities that we would like to have and people who have affected us in a way that makes us want to be better human beings. It is through role models that we learn to handle life's problems. In today's social media saturated environment, we are more likely to choose role models from the fields of sports, fashion, and entertainment who very often don't lead the kind of lives that we should want to emulate. If these are good qualities, then it is a good thing. But what if the people you consider your role models have pushed you away from Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the role model. Whom should we choose as a role model, and how can we be a good role model for others? But who is this model? Who is this imam that we are talking about? The real imam is the one who distinguishes the right from the wrong, the good from the bad, and the harmful from the beneficial. So it is related to the line of imamate and prophethood that the human path is separated from each of other paths and ways. So if I am a follower of this imam or this prophet, I will never give allegiance to a wicked and profligate ruler. But if I am a follower of a person like the opposite side, I'm ready to pledge allegiance even to the tyrants of the time. And we have plenty of such examples in the history of Islam and the history of nations. When I'm talking about Islam, because we now are the era of the Islamic Ummah, and we are a little bit, historically at least, we are a bit far from the history of other prophets. But we can find exactly, again, the same examples in the history and the life of the prophets of God, like that of Moses and Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it is the imamate and the, let's say, that comprehensive model of that we have been talking about that determines the standards and the slogans of people in their own lives. Therefore, the discussion is not a historical discussion, so that it makes it fruitless. So the discussion is alive in all the ages and all the centuries. This is actually a current discussion, or a discussion which is current for all ages and centuries. Let's call it a living discussion, a living issue that in all ages the human beings have been looking for a good role model to learn from him, to imitate their actions based on that.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Dear brothers, dear sisters, in this part, we want to learn about self-improvement. Why? Because it's one way to be a positive role model for your child. We are of a lifelong journey of learning in which we should constantly be working towards self-improvement. There is always something new to learn in life. We should try new experiences and broaden our horizons so that our children find pleasure in acquiring useful skills and knowledge, particularly life skills. As well as playing with them, it is a good idea to do some work together, for example, cooking. This builds relationships and proves confidence and competence in children. It is important to practice self-assessment, in which we question ourselves about our nafs and our actions. By reviewing our weaknesses and shortcomings regularly, we can ask for forgiveness from Allah and correct ourselves. Children should be encouraged to do the same. As long as we keep trying sincerely to become a better Muslim and put constant effort in it, we are already successful in the light of Islam, and it will be said, indeed, this is for you a reward, and your effort has been appreciated. The Holy Quran, Chapter 76, verse 22. ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا رب القلوب وهو علام الغيوب في الشروق وفي الغروب نوره يهدي العصا ربنا الهادي الودود فضله ملء الوجود عفوه خير وجود فارتجي دوما رضا. From the tips for choosing a good role model in life, we reach choosing someone who values you admire. Always choose someone as your role model whose work you admire and appreciate. There could be someone who teaches you values or reinforces values that are important to you. Also, who can help you deal with life's disappointments, challenges, and success. Similarly, always choose role models from whom you can learn things, not someone you imitate. For instance, if you are a medical student, you can get inspired to work with people who have mental health challenges. There, your role model can be a doctor or even a patient who always maintains a positive environment in the hospital.
My dear brothers and sisters, we are surrounded today by people who compete not only for our attention, but for our hearts and devotion. They vie with one another to amass great numbers of followers, friends, and subscribers to their channels and accounts online. There have never been more people with more variety of content than before. And so, who do we follow from this vast world of influencers? Who do we let into our homes and onto our screens and phones and ultimately into our hearts? There must be a standard to follow in this selection process. What is the criteria the Muslim should follow in selecting an influencer? Should they be rich? Should they be funny? Should they be witty perhaps? Should they be political or beautiful or athletic? The best example, surely, is the one who is best in speech. And so, what is the best speech? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than the one who called to Allah and did righteousness and said, I am of the Muslims. The scholars of this ummah, my dear respected brothers and sisters, are the heirs, the inheritors of the prophets. The messenger, he said, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَإِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. The scholars are the heirs of the prophets, for the prophets did not leave behind a dinar or a dirham. Rather, they left behind knowledge. So whoever takes it has taken a great share. Don't we want to follow those who will guide us to the straight path? Don't we want to follow those who fear Allah most among us? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah said, only those fear Allah from among the servants who have knowledge, who are scholars.
It's very interesting topic to know more about. So inshallah, we continue. So till then, tomorrow, Allah keep all of you safe and sound. Have a nice time and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.